Welcome to the Ride With Us podcast, presented by the American Coaster Enthusiasts, the world's largest ride enthusiast organization dedicated to the appreciation, promotion, and preservation of roller coasters around the globe. So please keep your hands and feet inside the podcast at all times as we welcome in your host.
Hello, enthusiasts. It's your host, Jessica Gardner here. Let's talk about Kings Island. With opening day mere moments away and spring conference just around the corner, we thought it was a great time to check in with Director of Communications, Chad Showalter. Correspondent Bob Randolph chats with him about everything from Chad's history with the park to his favorite coaster, new attractions and updated theming at Kings Island, and the future of the Vortex plot of land inside the park. Take it away, Bob and Chad.
Hello, Acers. It's Bob Randolph, and I'm deep within the bowels of one of my favorite places. I call it my home park. I'm at Kings. I know. I'm in a conference room, and I'm here with Chad Showalter, who is the Director of Communications for Kings Island. Chad, thank you for, one, agreeing to this today, and two, we just got finished with a hard hat tour of the brand new area within Kings Island, and we're going to talk about that here in a few minutes because there's a lot of really neat stuff that's going on. There's a lot of really cool things that are being built, and a lot of it is still being built and, well, won't be open for opening day, but that's okay, because we'll talk about when it is going to be open. Sure. Chad, tell me a little bit about yourself, because we don't get to know you guys. We know you guys as the park person that we turn to for when we have questions, but tell me a little bit about Chad. Where's home?
Yeah, home's right here in Cincinnati. I live about 25 minutes from the park, and I actually, I started in 2017 in my current role, but I worked here in high school and I worked here during my college years as well. So when I was offered the position here a few years ago, it felt like a homecoming to come back to Kings Island. And, you know, it's been fantastic ever since then.
So is this the first place that you ever worked at a park? I mean, you said you worked here when you were in high school, but I mean, did you work at any other parks or is this it?
This is my first amusement park. Prior to joining the team here at Kings Island, I worked at Newport Aquarium for Hershen Family Entertainment. And I feel like the audiences, you know, it's not the amusement park crowd, of course, but, you know, we're both trying to appeal to that family that likes to spend time and quality time with each other. So a lot of the skills that I acquired there really played well in the amusement park industry as well. So, and of course, since joining here back in 2017, I've learned so much as well, and it's just been quite the ride.
What was the first job you had here?
The first job I had was at Rivertown Pizza, and I would stand on the patio every single morning and watch the crowd as they lined up behind the rope down by the Chiquita stand to ride the Beast as their first ride of the day. The footprints stretched all the way back to the frozen banana stand, basically, is what it was. And we would watch them file by, and I knew in that moment how busy we were gonna be that day, how many pizzas we were gonna make because of the number of people that would cross by in front of the stand. In year two, I got promoted, and my promotion was to be a cheese grater. So I grated cheese, you know, 1,000 pounds of cheese a day. And you know, you learn a lot about working at an amusement park when you're working in food service. I feel like you see everybody who comes to the park. And it was during that time in my high school years that it really inspired me to pursue communications. And you know, just watching how the park handled communications with their employees, with their guests, and all of that was, you know, just hitting me at exactly the right time when I was trying to decide what to study in college. And, you know, working here during college over in the human resources department, that was interesting because I got to see those associates from the interview process to, you know, their last day of the season and how much they grew. When I graduated college, there weren't entry-level positions in communications, so my career sent me one direction, but it brought me back here in 2017.
So you've kind of seen it all at the park. You've worked your way up, and it's a great story. I mean, it's nice to hear that somebody who started at the park, you know, you may have left the park for a little bit, but at least you're back, and you're in a position where you can kind of see everything, and you've been down there, so you know know what it looks like at the other end of the fence, if you will.
Yeah, you're right. You know, my wife and I were both employees here during high school. I didn't know her then, but when I met her, before we were married even, we bought season passes together. And even that time when I wasn't here as an employee, every year we've had season passes. We're raising amusement park goers now today with my 18-year-old and my 9-year-old who just love coming to the park. And whenever we're on the road, we absolutely go to the nearest one just to experience somewhere else. Also.
So your oldest, and we talked a little bit about this outside before the tour, your oldest works here.
She does. She works in Starbucks. In fact, she had her in-stand training today. It's Sunday, a week before we open the park. And she came in and saw, of course, I can completely relate to this with my experience at the park, but her friends that she hasn't seen for several months and only kept in touch with texting and, you know, trading messages with each other. She saw them again. It was a big reunion for her. And she not only did my daughter work here last year, but also my parents. So we
had
three generations of my family working at the park in the same season. So it was quite the season. And I took the opportunity to like take as many selfies with my family as I could.
Absolutely.
And it was just so fun to be able to eat lunch with my mom one day and my stepdad the next. And whenever I got the opportunity to see my daughter, I would stop by and see her at Starbucks too.
Well, that is very cool. So it really is a family affair for you at this point. Yeah. That's awesome. What about the youngest? The aspirations, maybe?
She is looking forward to Camp Snoopy opening, and one day she's going to be old enough to put on the name badge and enter through the employee entrance, and I'm sure she will.
That is fantastic. All right, so as I was listening to some folks today, I heard a phrase where there's really no off season, because I was gonna ask you, what keeps you busy when the park closes? Now, I know things still happen after the park closes, but how much? I mean, are you still busy 24/7 with this place when the park shuts down and we've all gone home for the season, we can't ride anymore?
It slows down a little bit, but you know, we're open essentially from April through December in some way or another, whether it's open to the general public or for private groups in the fall and during the winter. Of course, we have Winterfest. And so it's really just January, February, and March when we aren't in operation. But what we're doing in that time is, you know, we're getting the park ready during all of that off-season maintenance that has to happen, any capital projects that are coming for the next season. But we're also trying to staff up the park. You know, Kings Island has an incredible returner rate for those seasonal employees. But, you know, we do have a number of people that we have to hire new in the off season. And that's really our focus in January, February, and March. But also just, you know, trying to get our guests excited about coming back in April, making sure they have their season pass and they're ready to go. You know, right now we have this week coming up our pass preview day for the park, and we're always trying to find different ways to provide those perks to our pass holders as well. And most importantly, during the off season, we are, you know, looking at our entire year and what our priorities are for the park. And it's a jigsaw puzzle. When are we gonna talk about all these things and the timing of it and making sure we're consistent across all the channels we communicate across.
And that's a question that I've got for you later, some stuff that maybe we can. Okay. Now, being that we're in the conference room, I have to ask.
Of course.
Is this the room where decisions get made about new rides? Is this, am I in that place?
This is one of those rooms, but I'll be honest, a lot of our conversations happen around water coolers or over at Cornerstone, which is our employee cafeteria, and just anywhere you can have them. One of the things I like about Kings Island and our general manager is that he likes to get the opinions of people from all across the company. And, you know, that gives him different perspective and different things to think about. And of course, a lot of those conversations happen in here. But, you know, this is also the room where our general manager invites seasonal employees in several times throughout the season and talks to them about the experience they have working at the park. What do they like about it? What do their friends say about it? What would they change? You know, what are we doing well and what are we not doing well? Because his goal is to make sure that we have great employees here who are having a great experience and they want to come back the next season. And they're also talking about their experience with their friends and hopefully inspiring them to work here too.
Let's move on a little bit because I know we've got a little bit of a limited time frame here.
Sure.
Now, I was going to ask, it's kind of in the get to know you, and I think I might know where you're going to go with this.
Okay.
Where's your favorite place to eat in the park?
Okay.
Is it over at the Starbucks now? Has it changed over there?
Starbucks is right on International Street, and I go up and down International Street a lot. Probably more than my daughter would like me to go up and down International Street because I'm always trying to find ways to stop by and say hi. There are so many great places to eat within the park now. In fact, that's really evolved over the last several years. One of my favorite places, and it's not just for the delicious food, but also the setting, is Coney Barbecue over in the Coney Mall area of our park. I hate saying this because the secret will get out, but there's a courtyard between Coney Barbecue and Tower Gardens, which is a little walk-through park next to the Eiffel Tower.
I've spent some time there.
Yeah, it's a shaded area. It's fantastic, and it's kind of quiet in that area. And I love just getting a table there underneath an umbrella and enjoying that that time there with my family when I'm eating in the park. You know, if I'm over in the water park, I love the smokehouse as well. And I think if I'm looking for, let me think here for a second. If I'm looking for somewhere that, is at the top of my list, but I don't get to as much as I want to, I'd say the Chicken Shack over in Action Zone.
Oh, okay.
And their fried chicken tenders and all of that are incredible. They're probably the best in the park. I'm never hitting that area at the right time of day where I'm hungry. So I definitely stop over there when I can as well.
So what's your favorite ride in the park too? I've got to ask that question.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're interviewing me on the 45th anniversary of the Beast being debuted to the public.
It is that day, isn't it?
It is. And when I worked at Rivertown Pizza, there's a rule, of course, associates can't ride rides during their shift.
Right.
But when we were clocked out during our break, we had button-up uniform shirts, and underneath I'd have a t-shirt on and navy blue shorts, right? So I'd take off my uniform shirt and I would, you would put it in a locker in the back room and head over to the Beast and ride it as many times as I could before I had to go back on the clock. So to this day, the Beast is absolutely my favorite coaster here. We're very lucky here at this park. Our guests are very lucky to have such a great lineup of coasters.
Absolutely.
But the Beast is the one that holds that special place in my heart as my favorite.
45 years for the Beast. There's a couple other that are celebrating anniversaries this year as well.
That's right.
In Vertigo is celebrating 25 years. Mm-hmm. Diamondback is celebrating 15 years, mm-hmm. and Banshee is celebrating 10. That's mm-hmm. a lot of coasters to have celebrations for in 1 year.
It is. A few years ago, we celebrated the Beast 40th anniversary, and all of our focus was on the Beast because that was a big anniversary for the coaster being on the 10s, you know, 10, 20, 30,
sure.
40.
Now, will the Beast get jealous if you celebrate the other ones
this
year?
Well, you know, we haven't asked because we find it's better not to ask the Beast a question, but we are, with this being on the 5 year of the anniversary at 45, we thought this is a great year to turn our focus to some of the other rides that are celebrating anniversaries as well. And of course, we're gearing up for 5 years from now when the Beast turns 50 as well. So, we'll probably find some special ways to celebrate that.
I would think anything that you can share in the way now, things that you've got planned?
We plan ahead, but not that
far.
We're still in the ideation. ideation phase of that.
Any ideas that you want to share that you can share?
I'd love to hear your ideas.
Oh, you don't want to hear my ideas. My ideas is my getting to ride the front row all year long, questions asked. Oh, that is how I would celebrate. All right, so the Hard Hat Tour that we took today, the area where Snoopy is, it's Camp Snoopy. There's a big addition that's going on there. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about that because there's a lot of really cool stuff going in over there this year.
There is. You know, it's an addition to Planet Snoopy. So one of the questions we've heard is the whole kids area getting themed to Camp Snoopy now that you've announced that? And Camp Snoopy is, it's going to be an expansion of Planet Snoopy, but Planet Snoopy will still be there. This will be like entering a new themed area though, where the Peanuts are at summer camp basically, and you will be able to experience them in whole new, different ways than you ever have before here at Kings Island. And I'm really, you know, as you walk around there, it's clearly a huge expansion to
the kids
area.
It's a very big expansion. There's a lot of work going on over there.
There is. You know, we're introducing Snoopy Soapbox Racers, our Vekoma Family Boomerang, and it's coming together so well, and testing will begin any day now. But also, along with that, we're not just opening a new Family Boomerang coaster, but a whole new area. So Beagle Scout Acres will be a big part of that. If you're familiar with Planet Snoopy, we had a petting zoo for a number of years underneath a covered pavilion.
Right.
We've taken everything out from under there, completely repainted that structure, and we'll be, over the next several weeks, installing basically an interactive play area for kids and families. One of the things parents have told us over in Planet Snoopy is we need shade in that area and a place to sit down. And that's what Beagle Scout Acres will be. It'll be covered, shaded, and comfortable. Families can, you know, parents can sit down and take a break, and the kids can run around and expel some of that energy and wear themselves out a little bit with, you know, this turfed area with slides and tunnels and other things to do. But the thing I'm excited about in there is you'll be able to experience the Peanuts gang in a whole new way. They'll come out, you know, and instead of just a meet and greet with photos, they'll do a Camptivity, which is an activity where it'll reinforce a positive behavior. Let's say like teamwork or courage or something like that.
Oh, very cool.
And they'll do that. They'll be dressed in their Camp Snoopy or, you know, camp outfits as well. And after that activity is over, they'll invite families and kids up to take pictures with them and really be a neat experience and something we've never been able to do quite that way here at Kings Island. We'll have a new dining area in Camp Snoopy with Pigpen's Mess Hall. That's a walk-up counter service restaurant, or you know, fast food, basically, place. And picnic tables surrounding it, so it'll be a nice place to eat.
And I saw the sign for that as we were walking through there. It said napkins optional. I like that part of it.
Exactly. Well, I mean, when you have Pigpen, that's really the only way you could have a restaurant is if napkins are optional.
So there were a lot of changes this year as far as names go as well, because Race for Your Life Charlie Brown is now Charlie Brown's Rushing River Log Ride. The Flying Ace Aerial Chase, Woodstock's Air Rail, and Woodstock Gliders are now Franklin's Flyers.
That's right.
All great name changes. What precipitates a name change? Why the name change? Who says, you know what, it's time for a change, and who makes the decisions as to what it's changed to?
What I really like about what Cedar Fair is doing across many of their parks is right now when they look at bringing in a new ride or some piece of new capital, they're taking the opportunity also to look at what's surrounding that new investment. And part of that is, you know, looking at the existing rides and looking at what needs refreshed or improved, or maybe taking that and trying to improve the overall guest experience. And that's what they did with Camp Snoopy. It's also what they did last year with the addition of Adventure Port. We could have just brought in a couple of new rides and said, that's it.
Sure.
But instead we took that area and really took the opportunity to provide new theming and create a whole new space within the park that has previously was something that hadn't been touched in a number of years. And that's really what Camp Snoopy is as well. We've taken three existing rides, like you mentioned, and rethemed those. This is our first Franklin-themed ride, for example.
Yeah, pretty excited about that.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah, we're excited to expand that with the Franklin's Flyers this season. And it gives us the opportunity to provide a fresh experience in that area. As you walk into the park, there will be a clear, when it opens in late spring, a clear difference between when you're in Planet Snoopy and when you cross over into Camp Snoopy, and those three rides will be a part of it.
That's really cool. All right, so let's fast forward a little bit. Okay. Let's move on to the ACE Spring Conference, which is coming up.
Uh-huh.
And I would be remiss if I didn't at least mention Coaster Stock's not happening this year, but the Spring Conference is. And one of the things that I kind of noticed at the event calendar looks pretty similar, because I've been to a couple of Coaster Stocks. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I was on your team, the winning team,
for
Coaster Feud one year,
right.
Which was fantastic. I really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. But I noticed a lot of things look similar to Coaster Stock for the ACE Spring Conference.
You know, when we look at Coaster Stock, which, you know, is coming back in 2025, but when ACE comes to you and says, hey, we'd love to have a conference at your park, you have to look at that hard and make, you know, do anything you can to make that happen. And that's what happened in this case. But we know that when our coaster enthusiasts come to the park, there are certain things that they're interested in. And Coaster Stock, you know, would provide that experience every year. So of course, we're going to take some of the events that we offered and some of the experiences that we offered in Coaster Stock and also offer them to the Acers that are coming to the Spring Conference this year as well. We also tried to find some different things that, you know, have not been a part of Coaster Stock in the past, just to provide some value to people who come to the park year after year to come to Coaster Stock.
I noticed the sign shop is on there, because that has not been a part of Coaster Stock.
It is. And, you know, the sign shop, that's, I mean, if you're a theme park fan, walking into the sign shop has got to be one of the best experiences that you can get.
That's where it's at. I'm telling you, that's where it's at right there. I love seeing the sign shops.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic, because they have signs there that are 40, you know, decades old, as well as things that are going out into the park tomorrow. So to be able to walk through there, I think, is going to be such a cool experience. We're going to have a showing of the Brady Bunch episode that was filmed at the park, and we've not done that before, so that it was great to be able to work that out as well and provide that experience.
That will be very cool. So are there any surprises that you haven't announced yet?
We may have a few surprises, but
you're not going to share them with
I'm
me.
I'm not going to share them right now. I'll wait till we get a little closer to the event.
Let it be said that I asked, at least. All right.
Sorry.
Are there any last minute additions that you can talk about that maybe aren't on the calendar of events that we have currently?
Not that it's not on the calendar, but something I'm really excited about is that, you know, of course, this is the Beast's 45th anniversary, but it's also a special anniversary for the park's relationship with ACE. And that is, back when the Beast opened, we started doing walkbacks to the Beast for ACE members.
And those are fun.
And those are fun. So I am excited at the different ways that we're celebrating the Beast during Spring Conference, including two nighttime ERT sessions, a special first ride of the day on the Beast as well on Sunday. You know, just the fun memories that'll be shared from people who have been riding the Beast their entire life.
And the night rides. We could not forget about the night rides, because those are just absolutely coveted and they're phenomenal.
I'm biased, right? My favorite coaster, but if you can think of a better night ride than the Beast when it's pitch black, please let me know about it, because I haven't yet and I've been looking.
I haven't found one either. That is just the night ride on the Beast is absolutely incredible. All right, so we're really looking forward to the Spring Conference. I know I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to get down here and do all the stuff with that. Mm-hmm. All right, maybe some future stuff. Let's kind of look into the future a little bit. Let's get out the crystal ball.
Okay.
Now, I know that the parks all talk to each other during the off season and kind of do, here's what went well for us, here's what didn't go so well for us. Any kind of things that have been shared from other parks that we might start seeing here?
not that I can talk about today, but you are absolutely right that one of the things that Cedar Fair is really good at is sharing ideas from park to park. And, you know, a lot of the best things that have come from Kings Island over the last several years might have seen an earlier iteration at a different park, and we were able to take that and apply it to Kings Island and make a great guest experience here. One of the things that I like that will return again this year is our nighttime finale, which we used to call the nighttime fireworks finale, but it involves so much more.
It really honestly does.
You know, if you watch that on International Street, you not only get to see the fireworks, but a choreographed fountain show with special lighting and lasers and just all sorts of action happening on International Street and hundreds of drones in the air every single night.
The drones were very cool for the 50th anniversary of the park. That was one of my favorite things, I'll be honest with you, because that to see that along with the fireworks, with the Eiffel Tower in the background, absolutely amazing.
It really is. And you know, it's tradition reimagined, because we've had fireworks from day one here, and we've always celebrated the end of a day with some type of show, especially when we're open to like 10 o'clock when it's dark out in the summer. You know, that's continued, but it's not only continued, it's evolved. And those ideas came from other parks who were doing similar but different things. And we said, what would our guests like? And how can we improve that experience and make it a tradition for a new generation? And that's where, you know, the enhanced finale show came from for the anniversary. Our guests loved it so much that we continue it today.
Yeah, it was great. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I've taken a gazillion pictures of it, shown all my friends, and the drone show, again, just really, that was one of the highlights, especially to see Snoop up in the sky. That was very cool.
All right,
so as I'm looking around, you see me, I don't see any hidden cameras, I don't see any security guards. All right, so it's just me and you.
Okay,
don't just
forget
never mind
being
all
recorded.
Never mind all this other stuff that's here. What kind of secret stuff can you sort of maybe kind of almost tell me about? Let me ask you this: was the checkbook open at IAPA, and is it going back into the Vortex plot?
Well, I will tell you one thing, and that is, when discussions are happening about what's coming next at the park, I learned very early on in this role to ask and request kindly from my bosses that they not tell me until that decision is final. Because let me tell you, it's not a decision that happens and one day we don't know and then the next day we do. It evolves. And then sometimes we start over during the planning process. So depending on where we are and until we're ready to make an announcement, I say, thank you kindly for letting me know that you're having that conversation. I'll start thinking about it, but I don't want to know until that decision's final.
Well, I will ask you in a different way then that might actually get me somewhat of an answer. Are there discussions being talked about that plot of land at the back of the park?
That's a question that everyone always asks. And whenever real estate like that in the back of the park where Vortex used to be, you know, that opens up, that's a natural question to ask, because space is at a premium,
sure,
of course, at Kings Island and really every amusement park. I can say that we do not have immediate plans, but it will not surprise me when that decision's made and they come down the hallway and let me know that we need to start talking about that and planning. But nothing.
So Chad, in 2 weeks, if I hear something, you and I are going to have a discussion. I'm just telling you right now.
I promise you that I do not know anything about that.
All right, fair enough.
Good question, though. I appreciate you trying.
Well, I have to ask these questions. That's part of the job. You know, it comes along with the gig. All right, so Chad, is there anything else that I missed that maybe you want to bring up? Anything that's happening in the park that, you know, I haven't heard about yet? Or
We have an action-packed season happening. Of course, park opening is coming in mid-April here. On April 19th, we have our pass holder preview day, and that's when only pass holders are allowed into the park. Opening weekend, we start our celebration with the coasters you mentioned earlier that are celebrating anniversaries this year. We have a special giveaway. More details are on our website about trading cards that trading card packs that people can get on those anniversary coasters on opening day. We have a lot of favorites returning this year, like Grand Carnival. Of course, our July 4th fireworks is coming back. It's really a summerbration is what we're calling it this year. One of the things that really isn't being talked about yet that I'm excited about is called the Gazillion Bubble Show that's coming to the park in Kings Island Theater. And it is a high energy gazillion bubbles show. Any way you can imagine to experience bubbles, it's going to happen during this 30-minute show that we have. And kids and families love it that have seen it. And it's just going to be a really unique experience that we've never had at Kings Island before. And I think families are especially going to love it.
Oh, that'll be very cool. And when will Grand Carnival start?
It's later in the summer. And all of the details on every event that we've announced so far can be found at visitkingsisland.com in our live entertainment section. And a lot of times our guests and pass holders come to the park and they'll make a day out of just the entertainment. And we're really proud of that.
Chad Showalter, Director of Communications for Kings Island. Thank you very much. Now, I do want to get this on record.
Yes.
Before we wrap this up.
Okay.
You made a request to me when we first talked.
Yeah.
Go on record with saying this, please.
You reached out to me and you said, hey, will you be on the podcast? And I said, of course. I only have one condition. I listened to your podcast with Tony Clark. The thumbnail that you used to promote it was incredible. And the only requirement I have is that you make me look as good as you made Tony look, and we'll be fine.
I'll be honest. That's out of my hands. Okay. I do the interview. I let somebody else do the graphics. But I'll lean on him. For you, Chad, I'll lean on him. Chad Showalter, absolutely, Chad. Thank you for having us for the Hard Hat Tour today. Looking forward to being at the park this year. Chad Showalter, the Director of Communications at Kings Island. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Bob. I look forward to seeing you in the park, too.
Thank you to Chad Showalter and our correspondent, Bob Randolph, for that great interview. And thank you all for listening today. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast. Give us 5 stars if you can, rate and review. And if you have any questions, comments, or podcast episode pitches for us, please reach out to podcast@aceonline.org. And don't forget to check the website, ridewithace.com, to find out about all of the exciting upcoming ACE events. And also make sure you're following us everywhere on social media, Facebook, X, Threads, Pinterest, LinkedIn. Make sure you're subscribed to ACE's pages on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and Discord to find all of the information and stay on top of all of the park and coaster news coming out and to hear what your ACE membership has to offer. Thanks for listening. Hope you get to ride a coaster today.
Ride With Us is produced by the American Coaster Enthusiasts, a registered 501c3 organization. Visit ridewithace.com for additional information, and we will see you at the parks.